You're listening to
The Marne Report.
Hi, Fort Stewart and Hunter Army Airfield. Kelsey here, back with another edition of the Marne Report podcast. Today, I'm joined by our special guest, Nick Seener, who is the Wildland Fire Program Manager with the Forestry Branch at Fort Stewart. Today, we're going to talk all about prescribed burns and hopefully learn a thing or two. Thank you so much for joining me, Nick. How are you doing?
Yeah, no problem. I'm doing well.
So, I know you've been on here before, but do you want to share a little bit about yourself and your role?
Yeah, so I'm the, like you said, I'm the Wildland Fire Program Manager. It's the Fire Management Supervisor at the Forestry Branch. I kind of oversee the whole fire program. That's both prescribed fire and wildfire suppression. And we're going to be getting started burning again here just next week. So kind of starting to ramp things up again.
Yeah. So as you said, it's almost this time of the year again. It's going to be prescribed burn season soon. What exactly does that mean for people who are new here?
So what a prescribed burn is, I guess the first thing I should tell you, it's we take a given area on Fort Stewart, and when the weather conditions are right and they meet the parameters that we have set for that particular area, we go and intentionally light fire in there. It's a usually a very low intensity fire, and what that does is it has a bunch of benefits or a bunch of reasons we do it, but the main reason we do it is for the military training mission to maintain an open landscape and for wildfire mitigation by removing those fuels, those hazardous fuels, mitigate future wildfires. And we also do it, there's a lot of species out here. Basically the whole ecosystem out here depends on fire, and there's a lot of threatened endangered species that really need fire for their habitat, so we do it for maintaining that. We got the red-cockaded woodpecker, frosted flatwood salamander, eastern indigo snake. All those species need fire periodically in their habitat to maintain that optimal place to live.
I remember last year when we were putting out the notifications of areas you guys were going to burn that day, and a lot of people would get so annoyed and frustrated. What would you kind of say to that when they think that, you know, it's doing more harm than good?
The first thing I would say is that the long-term benefits are really going to outweigh that kind of short-term inconvenience that comes from a fire. We try to make the impacts on the adjacent communities as little as possible. You know, make sure the wind's blowing that smoke away from them. Make sure there's not going to be any residual impacts 2, 3, 4 days down the road. But every now and then, you know, a little bit of smoke might linger, and it can be a nuisance. It can sometimes even be dangerous on a highway if that smoke's settling down on a highway and mixing with fog. But it's a very rare case. And like I said, the long-term benefits that are coming from that have a lot more weight than that short-term inconvenience. So once we've ran fire through that particular area, now wildfire chances have been eliminated. And that habitat has been improved for all those threatened and endangered species, and the military can keep on training in there. It's got that landscape that they need for their mounted and dismounted training.
Yeah, like a prescribed burn is better than a full-fledged wildfire uncontrollable.
Exactly. I could show you a picture of, like, a prescribed burn going on, what it looks like, versus a wildfire in that area that hasn't seen any fire in 6, 7, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one looks apocalyptic and the other is just like, hey, that's kind of nice.
It's
just,
and I've seen it will die down pretty quickly.
Yeah.
After it's burned, whatever is on the ground really is what it goes after, is just that vegetation.
That's right.
We've talked about the benefits and a little bit about specific reasons. Is this common practice on other installations or just kind of Fort Stewart?
It's going to be on probably any installation that has a large area of land that they manage. It's going to be different throughout the country. There's you know, growing season down here in the southeast is a lot longer than pretty much everywhere else in the country.
Yeah.
So our fuels are going to accumulate at a lot faster rate than, say, somewhere up in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, somewhere up north. But basically every ecosystem, every forested area in the continental United States needs fire at some point. Down here in the southeast, you know, these forests would burn every 1 to 2 years since the beginning of
time.
The forest, yeah. It might be different on somewhere in California or, like I said, Washington or in the Northeast, but a little bit of fire at some point is great for any forested ecosystem.
Last year, your team actually had a really cool opportunity. You guys were able to host scientists and researchers from NASA's FireSense project, along with, you know, other governmental organizations. Did you guys learn anything specifically from that collaboration that you were taking into this season?
That was a really cool project. It was a great opportunity to kind of link practitioners from all these different areas and different agencies. And so it was really good collaboration. I don't know how you like quantify that kind of benefit of just, you know, getting like these outside perspectives and outside insights from people that you wouldn't normally. And these are people who've been, you know, these are some of the highest level fire people in the country. Like, they're just a wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I can't point to like one specific thing, but like just having these people now and all these contacts now in my back pocket, like if I have any kind of question about smoke management or fire behavior or something, now I've just got this whole like encyclopedia of people I can reach out to.
What is the process behind you guys choosing that certain area? Because you guys actually rotate, like you don't burn back-to-back areas every year.
Some of them we do on the live fire ranges out here. We make sure we burn them every year.
Okay.
Because that keeps those wildfires down as little as possible. And these troops training out here, shooting tracers and stuff, these ranges catch on fire all the time. And by implementing prescribed fire on them every year, it minimizes us having to go out there and stop them training or putting our firefighters out there in a potentially hazardous situation. But outside the live fire ranges, we try to keep everything in about a 2 to 3 year burn rotation. And we pick that each day. You know, prior to burn season, we put a list together of all the areas that need fire mm-hmm. for this upcoming season. And then maybe the day before, or even the day of, we look at the weather forecast, and primary thing is the wind direction. So say we have a west wind, obviously we can't burn something down in like the alpha training areas because all that smoke's going to go right into Richmond Hill. So we go over to the west side where that smoke has an additional 30 miles to disperse. Mm-hmm. So every unit out here we have under a very strict set of parameters, and all the atmospheric conditions have to meet those parameters before we put any fire on the ground.
Yeah. How long does the season last?
From December 1st till June 30th.
Yeah, okay. Is there anything else you would like to add before we go?
The biggest thing is just good fire prevents bad fire. That's the short of it.
That's a good motto.
Yeah, and I just ask people to use caution, especially if they're driving down the highway, like 144 or 119, and they see us burning or they see a column of smoke, or just slow down and keep up your awareness a little bit better.
And those road signs, and be patient, yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm glad we got to do this. To stay up to date on prescribed burn notifications, please follow us on social media and check out the Fort Stewart website. Again, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Kelsey Stieber, and that concludes this episode of the Martin Report. See you next week.
U.S. Army is enhancing security at Fort Stewart and Hunter Army Airfield with the automated installation entry system, bringing smarter, faster, and safer access to our gates.
Using advanced handheld devices, our security personnel can now verify identities in real time, even when the visitor control center is closed. These devices tap into national law enforcement databases, checking federal and state records, DMV status, and more, all in about 45 seconds. Each gate is equipped with one handheld vetting device. If no issues are found, visitors may receive up to 180-day access to the installation. This works for family, rideshare services, food delivery, and MWR activities. If derogatory information is flagged, access will be denied and the visitor will be directed to the Visitor Control Center for further guidance.
Your safety is our mission. With AIE in-lane vetting, we're keeping our community secure, day and night.